Just to recap, the last 2 weeks we've been looking at the point in Jesus' ministry where he is now empowering his disciples and sending them out to the towns and villages of Galilee and beyond. He has told them that the harvest is plentiful, but they need to be prepared for persecution and rejection. And now this week, we get a glimpse of the better part of what they can expect. People that will hear them and listen and accept them and their message. Jesus tells his disciples, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." So our message this week is about welcoming. Please listen for a moment as I share what I think is the most important part of this week's message. And that is that being in the presence of warm, friendly, and caring people can be the most important part of successfully sharing the message of Jesus Christ. Being in the presence of warm, friendly, and caring people can be the most important part of successfully sharing the message of Jesus Christ. We have a word for that: hospitality. As Christians in Christ's church, being welcoming and hospitable is perhaps the most important thing we can do to help others see Jesus. Notice that I didn't say hear about Jesus, I said see Jesus. And it's my prayer that if Trinity United Church of Christ Center Hall could only be known for one thing in our community, I would want us to be known for our hospitality. That everyone that walks through these doors feels welcome, feels a spirit of love and acceptance, and a genuine sense of God's presence in this place. And you know what? I can't do that alone. Not even a subset of us can do that. It takes every single person to make that happen. I sometimes hear from one of my colleagues of how a guest will come into their church and sit down, only to be asked a moment later to please get up and move. You're in someone else's seat. Well, it makes me angry to even think about that happening. Can you imagine if you're that person coming to visit and you're asked to get up and move? Do you think you'll ever return to that church? I don't think so. I received a call on Friday afternoon from a young couple in State College. They wanted to get married. They have a church there, they're members of, but they found out at the last minute that the church will not be available because they're having a big art festival in town that day, that weekend. So you can imagine their panic and scrambling. They're trying to find a place because the wedding is only 2 weeks away. So they have very little time to contact their guests. They have 120 people they've invited, and they're trying to make this work and get all the final arrangements done. And they talked to me for a little while and asked if they could come look at the church. I assured them that we were not air conditioned. He said, "Well, do you think it'll be hot on July 15th? I said, "Well, I may be a prophet, but I'm not that good, you know." So they came over, they fell in love immediately with the church, as you can imagine, and they will be married here in 2 weeks. But as we were saying goodbye, they told me how grateful they were to find a place where they were welcomed, and they thanked me for being so kind to them. It seems that they had been to some other places where they were treated poorly and disrespectfully. And they assumed that the only reason they could think of was because they are both Chinese citizens. They are Chinese Christians practicing a religion in a country that's hostile to that religion. And their greatest desire is to be married in a Christian church. Well, let me tell you what I told them. I said, "We at Trinity are pleased to have you be married here. And we will do everything we can to make sure that that ceremony is joyful and successful for you and your family." And I said that knowing that I could count on all of you to make sure that happens. Because brothers and sisters in Christ, That's the kind of church I want us to be. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. And I hope you are proud and blessed to be a part of a church like that as well. One of my favorite scriptures pertaining to hospitality is found in Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? To think that a moment of rudeness on our part, we might be insulting a messenger from God. That is devastating to me. Regardless of whether that visitor is a heavenly guest or an earthly one. Because our scripture lesson today makes clear that God uses human beings as messengers. Jesus was talking to his disciples and sending them out. And he said, those who welcome you welcome me. And those who welcome me welcome the Father who sent me. It couldn't be any clearer. In ancient times, this hospitality was crucial for survival. Like Abraham and Sarah that we read about, welcoming the three visitors by the oaks of Mamre, which was our Old Testament reading from a few weeks ago. Their hospitality unsealed a promise from God that they would have a child in their old age. You see, hospitality in biblical times was seen as a way of meeting and receiving a holy presence. A holy presence. Brett, I knew you before. I'm not sure you're a holy presence, but I'm glad you're here today, brother. It should be the same for us, though. Jesus made clear that whatever kindness or neglect we show others, to even the least of these, will be returned to us. In our reading today, Jesus promises the prophet's reward for those who we welcome, for those who welcome a prophet, or righteousness for those that welcome the righteous one. So what are some things perhaps that we can do to be more welcoming, both as individuals and as a congregation? Marjorie Thompson shared in her book Soul Feast an observation that those with the least, the poorest, are often the most generous. This has certainly been my experience, whether it's working with people in the homeless community or in some of the poor and more austere places I've visited. I've seen time and time again people with almost nothing give what little they had in the gracious act of hospitality. I may have shared with you before about one of my experiences in Guatemala, and perhaps Jane and Tony and Alex can share similar experiences from their visit last year. But on one trip, we had a young woman on the team that had some health issues, and it had prompted her to be a vegetarian. So because of this, she was unable to participate in the community meal that the Mayan women would fix for us on our final day of work in their community. Now, this meal is extravagant by their standards. It's largely based on chicken and rice and other side dishes that they cook in the chicken stock. When our hostess, our Mayan hostess, realized that one of our members wouldn't be able to eat it, she went to the market and she spent the equivalent of 1 week's wages to buy tofu that she then prepared so that everyone on our team would be able to participate. Well, you can only imagine the tears this young woman cried in disbelief and amazement at this demonstration of extraordinary hospitality. And it's something that will remain with me forever as an example of amazing love and graciousness. What can we learn from this? I'd like to imagine that if a similar opportunity came along, then we too would practice not just hospitality, but extraordinary hospitality. We too would go above and beyond. Marjorie Thompson said it like this. She said, in essence, hospitality is an expression of love. It is the act of sharing who we are as well as what we have. And for that reason, hospitality of the heart lies beneath every hospitable act. Hospitality of the heart lies beneath every hospitable act. Something else we can notice in today's reading are Jesus' words in the last verse. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of the disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Our conference minister, Reverend Dr. Monica Dawkins Smith, said this week that these verses reminded her of when she used to sit with couples doing marriage counseling. And one of the questions that she often asked was, what makes you feel loved? What makes you feel loved? And she said 9 times out of 10, the response was that they liked random and unexpected acts of love, kindness, and thoughtfulness. Certainly hearing their partner say, I love you, was important, but it was the small acts, the small unexpected things that ranked the highest in answering that question, what makes you feel loved? You taking notes, Steve?
I am.
All right, good. She went on to describe how we often imagine discipleship as requiring heroic sacrifices or great feats and accomplishments. However, discipleship can be as simple as offering a hug to someone who is grieving, or a listening ear to someone who is hurting or confused. Discipleship is as simple as volunteering a few hours at the food pantry, perhaps at the pet rescue shelter, or simply planting a tree for the environment. This last week, I visited with Faye Winkelbleck over at the Oaks, and we talked about this very thing. Whenever I go and share communion, I always read scripture, and this time I was reading from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and I read where Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And when we thought about it, Faye and I, we thought, really, how much salt is required to make your food salt, to make it taste better? It doesn't take a big pile of salt, it takes a little bit. And how much light does it really take to illuminate a darkened space? Have you ever been in a real dark place and just turned on a pen light? It's like the sun shining. All of a sudden you can see the corners of the room. It doesn't take a lot. Perhaps just a cup of cold water can truly meet a need in this world. Well, Pastor Monica closed her weekly message by quoting Dr. Greg Carey, who's a New Testament professor at Lancaster Theological Seminary. And I'd like to share with you his quote as well. He said, Jesus has promised to come in time to redeem all in love, to fix all damage, heal all hurts, and wipe the tears from every eye. But until then, we can devote ourselves to acts of mercy and deeds of compassion, both small and large, not trying to save the world. Jesus promised to do that himself. But simply trying to care for the little corner of the world in which we have been placed. It does not matter who receives care. What matters is the care that is offered. My friends, the opportunities for hospitality, for offering caring gestures to others, to being a welcoming people, are out there. Every one of us has the chance, perhaps multiple times each day, to offer a kind word, to maybe go the extra mile and demonstrate extraordinary love and compassion for someone else. And I'd like to encourage us to really try hard not to miss those chances, so that we too can show people what Jesus really looks like. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for each one here today. It's a little warm this morning, but Lord, people have come to worship and to honor you, and for that I am so grateful. Lord, open our hearts and minds this day to receive this word that you have spoken to our hearts, to be your people in this world, to be hospitable, to be comforting, and to extend that extraordinary love and compassion that Jesus showed to so many in his time on this earth. Lord, we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, at this time. Amen. Our centering hymn is actually an insert in your bulletins today. It's one of my favorites. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. If you could find that, and please stand as you are able, and we will sing together.